sometimes it's the simple things that can get us going. You know, sometimes when you really need a pick-me-up, you can find that pick-me-up in the strangest places, the places that you never would have expected it. Because sometimes you can get your inspiration from a rabbi, and sometimes you can get your inspiration from a firm Jew, and sometimes your inspiration can come from an unaffiliated Jew. Sometimes your inspiration can come from a non-Jew, and though I don't want this to be like an order of going from top to bottom, sometimes you can even get it from an animal or from a plant or from just nothing at all. I mean, there's everything in this world has the ability to allow you to get some type of inspiration. The key is to be looking for it, because a person could just totally miss it and it could go right over his head and he had absolutely no idea. Just the question is, are you willing to look for it? Are you willing to find it? And if you are willing to find it, then inspiration can be absolutely anywhere. Even little article that was sent to me by my father-in-law. Article goes like this. Starts off, my father is Jewish, my mother is Jewish, I am Jewish. Those are the words that were chosen to be inscribed on Ed Koch's tombstone. Ed Koch was the iconic New York mayor who passed away, not last Friday, but a couple Fridays ago, made it very clear how we wanted most to be remembered. My father is Jewish. My mother is Jewish. I am Jewish. That was his tombstone. This is an ex-mayor of New York City. Reminded me, this is written by a person by the name of, I forgot because I knocked it off over here. We'll explain in a second, but I forgot who it was from. It reminded me of a family disagreement in which I had to acknowledge that I was wrong and my daughter was right. Write this article. It was a number of years ago when my daughter Tamar was making plans to apply to law school. Having gotten a perfect score on her LSAT exam, it's pretty good, the highest mark in the country, she wasn't nervous about being accepted at one of the top universities, but she knew that an important element that would be considered by the very best schools was the essay she had to submit explaining why she had chosen law as a career that defined her as a person. When she told me that she had finished writing it, I asked if I may see it, writes this guy. Right, he's a teacher over here. As I began to read it, I found myself filled with apprehension. Her opening words were, the opening words of this, I guess, introduction to what she wanted in her essay, was, I am an Orthodox Jew. She continued by linking the Jewish love for law with its divine origin at Sinai. She explained that her love for Torah made her seek a way to seek the betterment of the world through a commitment to legal redress for the innocent and lawful punishment for the criminal. If you don't know what the word redress is, don't worry, you didn't get into 180 on your LSAT either, so it works out well. Her presentation was masterful, yet I was afraid. Afraid because I was part of a generation that still bore the emotional scars of centuries of anti-Semitism. Afraid because I lived through the years of the Holocaust and forced to leave the land of my birth when a Nazi takeover threatened. Afraid because even though I now live in the land of the free, I still didn't feel free enough to believe that my daughter could openly identify herself as an Orthodox Jew without subjecting herself to prejudiced repercussions. Side note. I was sitting in a conversation between Rabbi Siegel and Rabbi Ezra Hartman the other day. Rabbi Hartman from Beis Yisrael, Rabbi Siegel, the senior Rebbe. And I sat in their conversation. I don't remember how we got into the subject, but somehow Rabbi Hartman said, I went on a trip to Europe with a couple Bachrim, and I was sitting there, the Rebbe, in a baseball hat. Because he comes from a generation where he grew up in St. Louis, where you never walked outside wearing a kippah. Never. Never. You wore a baseball cap. You wore something. But you never walked outside with a keep on your head. Because you get beaten up, you get sworn at, you get spat at, things would happen to you. And Rabbi Siegel said the exact same thing. We knew that if you walked outside of your house with a keep on your head, you were going to get beaten up. You would just get beaten up. This is in Chicago. Here on the west side and then eventually in West Rogers Park, that's what happened to you. You walked outside with your keep on your head. We have no clue what that's like. We think that a person who doesn't wear a kippah on their head is like the biggest non-Jew in the world. A person wearing a baseball cap, can you imagine going outside and wearing a baseball cap because he's afraid of getting beaten up by non-Jews in the street? And that is the least of my worries. Our issue is that we're afraid of being looked at as a Jew, and that's the reason why we don't want to wear a kippah on our head. But for all intents and purposes, I mean, come on. Come on. But they're living in a world that's completely different from our world. That's our little parenthetical part that I'm adding onto this little discussion. I don't think you should send the essay in the way it is, I advise my daughter. Do you want to thought about what I said? Respectfully, she concluded, she had to be true to herself, and she was much smarter than anybody else in the world. She decided that, he didn't say. She decided that if by identifying herself through her faith, she was closing the door to professional advancement, she would rather not enter those portals. And who knows, she added, perhaps the fact that I take pride in my heritage will be viewed as a positive. Yes, my daughter did get accepted into every one of the top law schools in the country. Now fast forward a decade to learn the real end of the story. I was teaching a class at YU when a young man, see we even mentioned that here, when a young man knocked on the door. I immediately recognized him as a former student. He told, out of breath, he told me he rushed up from Columbia University Law School because he had to share the story of what had just happened in one of his classes. The conversation had turned into a discussion about the required essays getting into law school. Someone asked the professor, now that we're in the school, can you tell us what exactly you were looking for in those essays? What were you looking for? The professor responded that he couldn't really put it into words, but he could only give a general guideline by referencing what he felt was the best essay that he had ever received. He recalled that it was written by some girl with a strange last name that's difficult to pronounce. Something like Blech. That's what it sounded like. If this is your daughter, my former student said, I knew you'd love to hear the story. Knew you'd love to hear the story. Did you say the name? Yeah, you know who it is. Unbelievable. Oh, I think his name is Benjamin Blech. Is it Rabbi Benjamin? Yeah? There we go. That's it. I assured him that indeed it was my daughter, and that I was so grateful to him for sharing it with me. I also confessed how I almost messed it up by suggesting to my daughter that it was too dangerous to be submitted as written. That's an unbelievable story in of itself, right? But then he connects it with something, and I don't have to go into a little hushkaka about this story. It says, yeah, but the idea is like this. If taking pride in one's identity proved to be helpful rather than a hindrance to my daughter, it is certainly instructive to learn how much this trait meant to the former mayor of New York City. That's impressive. To get through everything that there is, to be the mayor of New York City, and to say on your tombstone that I am Jewish. Not I am the mayor of New York City, the ex-mayor of New York City. Not that I did a lot of great, great things, and I met a lot of great people, and I did a lot of awesome, you know, I had a lot of fun in my lifetime. It's not that. I am Jewish. As the eulogies are offered and the tributes pour in with a lengthy list of Ed Koch's accomplishments, there are so many things the mayor could have been proud of. Yet what Koch chose to stand in perpetuity as a summary of his life's meaning and what he stood for were the last words that even Daniel Pearl, does anybody remember him? Yes. Daniel Pearl said before he was brutally murdered by Pakistani terrorists. Daniel Pearl was the reporter that was captured by Pakistani terrorists and was beheaded in front of a video that was shown all over the place. And you remember 4 or 5 years ago? It was a long time ago. It was a while ago. Probably 2002 sounds right. So he said, the last words he said was, my father is Jewish, my mother is Jewish, I am Jewish. Those were Daniel Pearl's words before he was murdered by these terrorists, he was captured and whatever it was, and then he was beheaded. 2 years before his death, in his personal blog in the Huffington Post, I do not approve of blogs, by the way, what's on my tombstone and why, Koch told his readers that this was what he had prepared to be inscribed as his epitaph. So strongly did he feel about the importance of this recognition for every Jew that he added, it's an unbelievable thing for people that are not religious at all. I believe that those words should be part of the annual services on the Jewish high holiday of Yom Kippur and should be repeated by the congregants. I guess the reason why it wouldn't be is because most shoals that would need to say something like that are Reform shoals, where half the people might not even be Jewish. And that would be a bit of a problem. My father wasn't Jewish, my mother wasn't Jewish, I'm not really Jewish. That's not really going to work out so well. Like for the 6 or 7 people, like I don't even know if Rabbi Staley will be able to say that, but for the 6 or 7 people that are there, they're able to say it. Like I'm not so sure that'll really catch on, right? But think about it. For people that don't have our strengths and our power and everything that we have, that is a huge line. Why wouldn't they say that in Yom Kippur? To say out loud, this is who I am. That's huge. Beneath this powerful expression of identity, Koch commissioned is the inscription of Shema in Hebrew and English, followed by these words. This is not his epitaph. He was fiercely proud of his Jewish faith. He fiercely defended the city of New York and fiercely defended its people. Above all, he loved his country, the United States of America, and whose armed forces he served in World War II. Koch not hesitated to define himself in this sequence: a proud Jew, then a loving New Yorker, and then a patriotic American. Okay, in accordance with his wishes, the words by his grave express with pride the last words of Daniel Pearl. Is it merely coincidence that Koch died on the first day of February, the very day on which Daniel Pearl was murdered exactly 11 years ago. That was a little Ashkacha Pratis part, okay? That's a little like cute one of like, and then they became Frum. That's the little thing after that. But it is a very impressive little part of the story. I want you to think about that for a second. Let's think of this inspiration for a second. We're talking about a guy who had so many things to be proud of, so many things to say. I didn't even know that Ed Koch was Jewish, to be honest with you. That's because I don't live in New York. I don't really know their mayor sequence. I have absolutely no idea. I know Richard M. Daley isn't Jewish. I know the original Richard Daley is Jewish. I know Harold Washington isn't Jewish. But for the most part, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Rahm Emanuel is Jewish. I'm not positive, but I don't think this is going to be Rahm Emanuel's first words on his epitaph after he passes away. I am the secretary. I used to work for President Obama. I was the mayor. I made sure there wasn't a lot of school because I made sure that everybody went on strike. That might be his epitaph. I would pretty much assure myself that that would be there. To say that he was Jewish and that he's proud of his Judaism is the last word that would be there, even though he claims to be a member of an Orthodox shul. Not a reform, not a conservative. He claims to be a member of an Orthodox shul, which is the shul on Belmont. I forgot what it's called. Shalom, thank you very much. Shalom, he claims to be a part of it. And my father-in-law says he sees him there every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. One day Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, that he's sitting there in that shul itself. An amazing thing, but that's not what Rahm Emanuel... This is an amazing thing. I want you to think about this for a second. We take for granted who we are, where we came from, and what kind of thing we've grown up with, that we understand that we're Jewish. We understand what it means, and we not only understand, we walk outside wearing a kippah because it's part of our systems. I can't imagine walking outside not looking like a Jew. Can you imagine that rabbis had to shave back then because they were beaten up for having a beard that looked like a rabbinical beard? For having a beard, for not shaving in the morning. This was rabbis. And there's still rabbis today that even though they're much older and even though there's no problem and there's no issue in walking outside with a beard, they still shave. Maybe for this very reason, maybe because they're so used to it. But they do it for the purpose of, it's part of their system. And so what they're used to, they can't stop doing such a thing. And I'm not saying that's bad. What I'm saying is we grew up in a different type of system. We grew up in a different world. And maybe this is what we should be saying every morning. When we wake up, and we definitely are saying Moda Ani Lefanecha, and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for waking us up and allowing us to live in the world that He gave to us, giving us everything that we need. First of all, that we woke up. Second of all, that we're able to use our limbs and we're able to move around in everything, then right after that, maybe we should say it. I am Jewish. And if you have a problem getting up in the morning to get to a Shacharis on time, or if you have a problem getting up for Seder, or if you have a problem for all of the above, then it could be that the first thing you should say to yourself when you wake up after you say Modani is, I am Jewish. Or even better, my father is Jewish, my mother is Jewish, I am Jewish. And if you say that, and you know what a Jewish person has to do, then the first thing that goes inside your head is, okay, next level. What am I doing now? Now what do I have to do with myself? And if you still can't get yourself to get up for Shacharis, then find inspiration somewhere else. We said last week, you have to destroy your atzlus, your laziness. And laziness comes in many, many forms. Laziness is not just, I don't want to get up. Laziness is not, you're just sleeping through things. Laziness is, I'm not hurrying to get somewhere. I'm not hurrying to get somewhere. I just had this conversation during lunch, but I really do hold it's true. Somebody asked me if I eat the amount that I do, how is it that I'm still as thin that I am? And I don't really eat that much, but the fact is, how am I as thin as I am? And first of all, I do have a bit of a bias. You can see it clearly right here. But aside from that, how am I this thin? The answer is, I don't do anything slowly. I don't like doing things slowly. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I love it when it's cold outside and people have to hurry to go in between two buildings because it's freezing. Because to rush in between one building and another makes your blood move a little bit. You no longer have to sleep in between certain areas because the fact is, when you feel like you can be lazy and walk outside and it's sunny and you just walk around like that, you act lazy. When you're running from one building to another because it's -1,000 degrees and the wind is blowing in your face and there's snow on your feet and there's puddles everywhere and you can't even go in the tunnel because it's leaking like a rain tunnel as much as you possibly can bleed downstairs, you can't go through there, then of course it's better to have that type of, if that kills your atzlus. This is what kills your atzlus. This is what destroys everything you have. So yeah, we got to be machshav of ourselves. And I skipped a week because I got this from my father-in-law, and I read this article and I said, this is perfect, absolutely perfect for me to start off with. I wanted to go into be being machshav ourselves and understanding what our davening does, what our learning does, and what it does. And I'll skip that until next week. I still have that available, and we'll still have it next week. But look what we are. Look what you have. Wake up every morning. Wake up every afternoon. Whenever you're napping, take that little nappy, and then afterwards say to yourself, I am a Jew. Even better. My father is Jewish. My mother is Jewish. I am Jewish. And wake up and say it. Because there aren't many of us. There aren't too many of us who understand what that means. There are many of us who know that they're Jewish or claim that they're Jewish. There aren't too many of us who know what it really means to be Jewish. And get yourself up and stop acting as if you got all the time in the world. Like you got, I hate the wording, the phrase that's used because it sounds like I'm from 1953. I somewhat am. But you got molasses in your pants, because not jeans. Like you're acting all slow and doing absolutely nothing. Walk and move and get yourself there. And when you're there, sit yourself down. It's not a little, gotta get my coffee, and then gotta get my tea, and then gotta have a little conversation, and then I'll slowly look at my phone and see if I missed any text messages over the last 3 seconds. Oh, I'm good. And then I go ahead and I walk to another person, and then I go and I sit down and I sip my coffee. That's probably one of the reasons why I don't like coffee, by the way, because you have to drink it slowly. There's nothing that I like doing slowly. It just doesn't work. It's not there. The only thing I like doing slowly is Torah. That's the way it has to be. Everything should be that way. And if a person is like that, then all of a sudden these things just fall away. The inspiration is there to grab and to hold for yourself and take in. Just got to keep doing it. All right? We're going to work on this for next week also, but I really want it to work. I really think. If you wake up and you say it in the morning, my mother is Jewish, my father is Jewish, my mother is Jewish, I am Jewish. I can't guarantee something new. I can guarantee that that's an awesome line that people are going to ask you about for the rest of your life. You're going to be like, I don't know, some mayor wrote it in his epitaph. That's all you really need, right? That should be there. We'll stop with that. And I will be going up to everybody. I'll be asking everybody about drivers. Have a good...